Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Good to have you here. Wasn't that wonderful? That was... I think our worship team was having a lot of fun with that, and we were enjoying that with them. I hope you were online as well. We certainly were here in the house. And thank you, team, for Sandy, Tyler, and Gaius for leading us in worship today. And welcome. So glad to be back with you after a couple weeks away. And thanks for joining us here in person or online. Trust that you have already experienced a sense of God's presence. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we acknowledge we live in such a troubled world. And we have reflected on those places that are just going through horrendous times right now. And we pray that you would minister to them and those who are on the front lines, grant them grace, help them. Minister to them, be present, and bring healing where there can be healing and restoration. And Father, for our lives right now, in the various journeys we are on, may we know that right now where we are, you see us. You see our lives, you see our situations, you see our context, you see our struggles, you see us. And Father, wherever we are right now, we pray that you would speak to us again through your living word, and your grace might be upon us, and that you would use your word to encourage us, inspire us, guide us, teach us. We commit this time to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, one of the great joys and privileges of being a pastor is the opportunity to hear people's stories of how they came to faith or what their faith journey has been. And while we can all invite others to share their stories, it's kind of almost expected of pastors, and it's a great joy and privilege. Now, in one sense, everyone's story is unique. God meets us individually. You and I are on a journey, and aspects of your story are very different from mine and mine from yours. And yet, somehow it seems we can all relate to each other's stories. And of course, that's one of the reasons why the Bible continues to speak into our lives so powerfully, though we live centuries apart. Over the last number of weeks, we have been exploring in this series the subject of real life faith. And we have been considering how people in the Bible have encountered God or met challenges and difficulties along their journey of faith, and then how we can learn ourselves from those real faith challenges and how they might speak into each of our faith journeys as we seek to live out an authentic faith in the world in which we live today. Well, one of the most well-known of the disciples is Peter, one of the original 12, although initially he is introduced to us as Simon, or sometimes Simon Peter. Later, Jesus will focus on the name Peter, and after that, it sticks, and ultimately, he is known as Peter, and that's how I will primarily refer to him today. And today, we're going to be looking at the initial couple encounters that Peter has with Jesus and how that brought him into an authentic faith. And while, like all of us, Peter has his own unique story and journey, I'm suggesting that we can learn from Peter's story, and it can cause us to reflect on our own. Now, of course, Peter's journey begins really some time before we meet him in the scriptures, when he is already a working adult and married. He was born an Israelite, grew up at a time when the ruling Pharisees and Sadducees, or religious leaders, were in very tight control, not only of religious life, but their community life. The local synagogue where the scriptures were read at least weekly, prayers were given, as well as the temple in Jerusalem with its daily sacrifice and yearly feasts and celebrations, they were all functioning strongly. I state that as background because Peter's encounter with Jesus that we will be looking at makes a bit more sense if we consider the context in which Jesus shows up in Peter's life. Many of us can relate to having had a religious upbringing. While that is certainly changing in our society, and increasingly there are people with very little religious education or training or exposure, there remain yet a great many people whose upbringing has had significant religious exposure of one kind or another. But being religious is not the same as having a true faith encounter with Jesus. It's almost certain that Peter had a strong and likely strict religious upbringing in the Jewish faith, and he would be well aware of the anticipated and prophesied Messiah who would come and deliver his people. But what that might mean for him personally, he had no idea. Now, according to the Gospel of Luke, which is where we're going to focus on today, Peter had quite a unique experience of Jesus in his family that at least initially doesn't seem to have brought much change. Would you read with me Luke chapter 4, just verses 38 and 39? Look it up with me in your Bibles or apps, or it's going to be on the screen as well. Verses 38 and 39, this is how Luke records Simon's initial introduction. Jesus left the synagogue where he had been teaching and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked her fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. I think that sometimes we think, if we ever witnessed a miracle like that, well, it would really change us. Well, it appears that that was really not the case for Peter, as we will look at in a minute. But rather for Peter, this was just another step along the way. You see, most of us have steps along the way. Maybe not as dramatic as Peter's, but times when God's grace has shown up in our lives, some provision, act of mercy, answer to prayer. Before I came to a fully surrendered faith in Jesus, I remember praying for my dad when I was a teenager who had to have immediate surgery on his prostate. And at the time, I found it quite dramatic, and it was quite serious. But the surgery was successful, and my dad returned to health, and life went on. Although it was an event that got my attention, at least, got me thinking about life, death, faith, God. You see, often there are events in our lives where there is an opportunity to explore faith, to question, to wonder, to reflect. Some are wonderful, some are painful, often a combination. The wise person is the one who does not brush these off as mere coincidences, maybe just good luck or fortune, or just the way life is. Maybe God is trying to get your attention. Well, now we come to the main text that we will be looking at, and that's Luke 5. First of all, verses 1 to 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee as it's frequently called, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God as Jesus taught. He saw at the water's edge, that's Jesus, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Here's the picture that I think is painted for us in these verses. Peter and probably his brother Andrew, not mentioned here, but they were partners together and always together, as well as his partners James and John. Well, they've been out fishing all night. That, I understand, is typical for fishermen, or at least very, very early in the morning. It's one of the reasons I was never drawn to fishing when I was younger. It required getting up too early. But these are not weekend fishermen. This is their livelihood, their business. And anyway, it's been a very frustrating night. No catch. Nothing like putting out a lot of energy for nothing in return. Frustrating. And dog tired as they are, they're cleaning their nets to get them ready for the next night. Do it all over again. And meanwhile, this preacher, Jesus, is going on, and crowds are gathering. And so what does Jesus do? He jumps in Peter's boat and has him push off a little from shore so he can teach larger crowds that are gathering. Because sound does carry very well over the water. But for Peter, this was most likely an interruption. Can you imagine Peter? "Come on, I just want to get my nets clean and get home for some sleep. Really? My boat?" Imagine him muttering to himself, "Okay, you did heal my mother-in-law." But then Jesus has the audacity to tell him to push into deep water and let down the nets. Like, really? You stick to teaching, Jesus. We'll do the fishing. Peter objects. Well, sort of. "Just so you know, Jesus, we've worked hard all night. Haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Peter addresses Jesus here as master, a term for one in authority, a term of acknowledging that he has the right to command. And in this, Peter obeys, reluctantly, but obediently. I think this is where a lot of religious people live all the time. Reluctant obedience. Really? I have to go to church? Okay, because you say so. Really? I need to tithe my money? Okay, because you say so. Really? I need to tell the truth and be honest and love that person? Okay, because you say so. But in our hearts, we're struggling. Jesus had more for Peter than reluctant obedience. And he has more for all of us. Look at verse 6 and continuing on. "Well, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. What a moment. Peter wasn't tired anymore. He was wide awake. What an unforgettable experience. But what we need to explore is Peter's reaction. What he says is at the heart of this narrative. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter is broken. His pride is broken. His religious facade is broken. His awareness of who Jesus is, who he now addresses as Lord, and at the same time, his conviction of his own unworthiness to be in Jesus' presence comes flooding out. An authentic, vibrant, personal faith requires these two things to happen. A greater vision, understanding, apprehension of who Jesus is, and a deeper recognition of who we are. And that's what happened to Peter in that moment. His eyes were open to see that Jesus was not just a mere man, a great teacher, or even one that could perform miracles. He recognizes that Jesus is the Lord, which in many contexts, and I believe here, refers to one who is divine. Jesus is revealed as the Lord of creation, worthy to be worshipped. Peter had a revelation that he was in the living God's presence. Now, Peter for sure had a lot more to learn in the coming months and years about who Jesus was and the nature of Jesus' ministry, but this encounter changed him. And that revelation that Jesus was more than a mere man brought him to the knees of Jesus, or some believe can be translated, brought Peter to his knees before Jesus. Either way, Peter is immediately aware not only of Jesus' greatness, but his unworthiness. He is humbled. You see, Peter's encounter with Jesus is not unlike the prophet Isaiah's encounter and vision of God in the temple centuries earlier, at which the prophet Isaiah responded to this vision of God. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." You see, awareness of God's holiness and our sinfulness is just not something that we are so comfortable talking about today, but remains foundational to a vibrant, authentic faith. Isn't it so much easier to just talk about and proclaim God's love? And God does love us. Absolutely, amazingly, wonderfully. But for all of us, a significant part of apprehending and comprehending that amazing love is recognizing at the same time God's holiness and our sinfulness and unworthiness in his presence. You see, the awareness and experience of God's love for us does not diminish when we are gripped by the holiness of God and the depth of our sinfulness, but it actually expands because we realize we are not loved because we are somehow worthy or deserving of it. We are loved simply out of the greatness of God's love because he sees us how we are. He sees everything and loves us. You see, like Peter, we are all sinful people. We are all in desperate need of grace. And to have an authentic faith encounter, we need to realize it, acknowledge it, and confess it. My own story as a teenager, though I'd grown up in the church, my close friend at the time had an encounter with Jesus, a real encounter. And the next day, he started witnessing to me at school. Witnessing to me. The guy went to church every Sunday, sang in the choir, knew all the religious words. Witnessing to me. I was a good religious boy on Sunday, but my friend knew I wasn't walking with Jesus. Started witnessing to me. And God used that to humble me. And Jesus, in his grace, met me, forgave me, began to change the trajectory of my life. You see, humility, acknowledging and confessing our sin, recognition of our unworthiness before a holy God, is the path to genuine, real life faith. And that's what Peter experiences here in his encounter with Jesus. Peter says, "Go away from me, Lord. Go away from me, for I'm a sinful man." But listen. Listen to Jesus' response. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus does the exact opposite of going away. "Don't be afraid. I have not come to punish you, to condemn you, but to save you." And Jesus pours out his grace upon Peter and invites him to that great mission for which Jesus had come, a relationship with him. And Peter's life is forever changed. And Peter embarks on a whole new journey of following Jesus and ultimately being fully devoted to the mission of Jesus. See, we can all be certain of this. Jesus will change our lives. You seek to follow him or surrender to him day by day. No, we will not all become pastors or missionaries, but some of you might. But anyone with a real and genuine, true faith in Jesus will be engaged in the mission of Jesus, which at its heart is to see people come to know him, to have a relationship with him, to put their faith in him, to know him as Savior and Lord. Do you know him today? Are you following him today? Following Jesus means for us to live out the love of Jesus in our lives. And yes, that will mean something different for each of us. In fact, Peter himself ultimately learned that and taught that to others. Some years later, having now witnessed both Jesus' death and the cross and having a personal encounter with the risen Jesus, he then writes his own letter to believers. And a part of that is these words, 1 Peter 4, 8 to 11. "Above all," he writes, "love each other deeply. because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter's life was changed, and his mission was to see others changed and follow in that way of following Jesus. We all have a role in following Jesus if he truly is our Savior and Lord. What a journey Peter had. From a fisherman to a founding leader in Christ Church. His journey stands as a testimony to the person, power, and grace of Jesus, that we today too might know him and follow him. What is your journey? Where are you on that journey? If you have never bowed the knee to Jesus, there is no better time than now. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, thank you for the amazing grace, love, power that you revealed to Peter. Thank you that we can enter into just a snippet of his story that speaks to our stories, reminds us and speaks to us of your power and of your grace, and reminds us that our own approach to you must also be one of humility and yet trust and faithful obedience. Father, wherever we are in our journey today, may your Holy Spirit draw us further. Take us into the next steps of our journey. May be alert to all the ways that you would speak into our lives, the way that you would reveal yourself to us. And may we have hearts and minds that are open and responsive and ready to trust you, to follow you. Thank you for your word. Continue to guide us in your ways of life and true joy. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.